Version. The epistle is written in the first chapter of the letter, first letter of St. Paul to Peter, beginning at the first verse. I, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen and destined by God the Father and sanctified by the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ and to be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in abundance. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that, though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that was to be yours made careful search and inquiry, inquiring about the person or time that the Spirit of Christ within them indicated when it testified in advance to the sufferings destined for Christ and the subsequent glory. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you, in regard to those things that have now been announced to you through those who brought you good news by the Holy Spirit, sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Here endeth the epistle.
Our gradual hymn is number 130. An upper room did our Lord.
On page 119. The Holy Gospel is written in the 20th chapter of John, beginning at verse 19. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here in my side, in my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, those things in the which are not written in this book, so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God," the Gospel.
Believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, God of God.
Good morning, everyone. On this beautiful day, he is risen. He is risen indeed. He is. Let us remember every Sunday, Easter Sunday only a week ago, but he is alive today, 2,000 years later. Let us pray from the verse, that wonderful verse in Psalm 19. Dear Lord, we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts shall be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, my topic this morning is the victory of the cross. What have we gained from the cross? The salvation of our souls. As Jesus breathed his last breath and gave up his spirit, a dramatic event occurred in the temple that would forever symbolize what he had achieved on the cross. The thick curtain which separated the presence of God from man was torn in two from top to bottom, which was an amazing feat. Only God could have carried it out, because it was too high for human hands to have reached it, and too wide and too thick for human hands to have torn it. Because according to Josephus, the famous Jewish historian of the first century, the curtain was 60 feet in height, 30 feet wide, and 4 inches thick. And its colors were red, blue, and purple. I was going to rip this apart, but thought it might fail and spoil my scarves. Blue for God's divine holiness, the presence of God with us. Red for the sacrifice of blood, the atonement. And purple for kingship, described in Exodus. The yarn that went into that big curtain with cherubim woven in. The Holy of Holies was now revealed, that sacred room at the rear of the temple that housed the Ark of the Covenant, containing the Ten Commandments written on stone. The high priest was allowed to enter this room one day, on one day only a year. And this happened at the Jewish festival of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, still celebrated in Israel, when the high priest would perform a series of very intricate and specific sacrifices to atone for the sin of the people and make them right with God again. Although they don't do those sacrifices today. But now Jesus himself has become the ultimate sacrifice once and for all on the cross. The sinless one dying for the sinners, who has atoned for our sins and made us right with God. The torn curtain signifies that there is no longer a barrier, and because the risen Jesus has become our great high priest, seated at the right hand of God, interceding for us, and we can come straight to God boldly and with confidence through him. So in our reading from Peter today, he addresses those who follow Jesus. You might like to turn back to it from 1 Peter 1. He addresses those who follow Jesus as the specially chosen ones of God, hand-picked troops, chosen for service and given the help of the Holy Spirit to lead a life of obedience to God with its challenges and responsibilities. As it says in the opening verse, to be sprinkled with the blood of the sacrifice. In the Old Testament, being sprinkled with blood was a sign of being cleansed, healed from leprosy, also as a sign of being set apart to do God's work, which applies to us too, hence the sprinkling of blood, metaphorically, of course, but that's what Jesus achieved. In fact, everything that Jesus achieved on the cross can be summarized in that one word, salvation. Peter tells us in verse 3 that we are given a new birth, reborn into a new kind of life that is radically different from the old one. The thing is that we cannot achieve this rebirth on our own, just as we never achieved our first birth, the physical birth, on our own. Jesus talked about it in John 3:3. It is the work of the Spirit, and it happens when we give ourselves up to be possessed and recreated by the Holy Spirit who comes to live inside us. Before I became a Christian 30 years ago, I had an inner emptiness that the achievements and material pleasures of this world could not satisfy. Not even a lovely home, family, career, and more than sufficient income. So what was missing? Just as my health started to deteriorate and I had reached a desperate point, I know that God intervened to rescue me. And through the Holy Spirit's prompting, I came to St. Mary's, where his good plans for my life have continued to unfold. And he has good plans for each one of us. And even when we are unaware of it, he is guiding us to fulfill them. I knew that I was a sinner, and I was burdened by the guilt of the wrong things I did. So to acknowledge this and be repentant was the first step towards my salvation, as it is for each one of us. We have to be sorry and know we've done wrong. Our belief in God can then develop, and our faith will grow. We have to believe that God exists, otherwise we will miss the signs and wonders that accompany his working in our lives. The Bible tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. But faith will increase if we hear the word of God through listening to or reading the scriptures for ourselves. We are warned in the Bible that one day there will be a famine of the word of God. It has already happened in many parts of the world where it is dangerous to be a Christian and in possession of a Bible. When communism fell in 1989, there seemed to be an urgency to take the gospel in quickly to those countries which had been denied it while there was a window of opportunity. Albania was one of those places. It was called the most dark place in Europe. For 40 years, no one had been allowed in, no one allowed out. And yet, there was a faithful few Christians there who prayed that one day they would once again be able to take Holy Communion and pray with other believers. And what happened was, as far as our church and people we know understand the story, which is told in the book called Christ and the Kalashnikov, where the OAC workers, trained by Corky Davey, Ian and Carolee Loring, left Bristol to go over to Greece, where many Albanian refugees were gathering. And they helped preach the gospel to them, and thousands of Albanians became Christians and wanted to go back into Albania, return home, and tell others the good news. And that's what happened. And those faithful Christians had their prayers answered. It was an amazing story, if you ever you get hold of the book. Or meet Ian and Carolee, who are still there to this day, 27 years later. They often visit Bristol to see Annie and Corky. And their social action accompanied their gospel teaching to the effect of today, there are 200 Christian workers there in the churches. Schools have been built, homes for seniors, because the old folks were totally neglected, homes for the mentally challenged, where abused children who had mental difficulties or physical difficulties were kept chained outside. They were given homes and love and care, and all this social action today has produced the most amazing growth in Albania, making the largest evangelistic missionary operation in Europe today. I saw it with my own eyes 12 years ago when it was really doing great work, which continues. And Peter says in verses 6-7, suffering grief in all kinds of trials results in faith, which can be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Well, there are very few people who pass through this life without experiencing loss and grief. Illness can rob us of an active life. Perhaps someone you love has died, or you have been through the pain of a broken relationship. But whatever it is, remember God's promise in Isaiah 43, that when we go through deep waters, he will be with us. And when we walk through fire, we will not be burned. And hold on to your faith. In John 20, we heard this morning that doubting Thomas would not believe that Jesus had risen from the dead and had appeared to the other disciples. But Thomas is finally persuaded that Jesus is alive and well when he has been allowed to put his fingers into the nail wounds from the cross. His faith is restored, but Jesus then said that those who believe in him, even though they do not see him, are blessed. And Peter confirms this in verse 8, you'll note, that those, even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The Lord achieved a mighty victory on the cross. If we keep our eyes focused on the cross, our sins will be forgiven, and we shall be saved from eternal death. The New Testament shows us that our salvation is a progressive experience of being led on a journey of faith by the Holy Spirit. A genuine faith is active and is confirmed by the good works which the Spirit helps us to achieve right to the end of our lives. Peter tells us that the prophets of the Old Testament had searched and inquired about the wonder of this salvation which was to come, and even the angels had longed to see it. And those prophets of the Old Testament were inspired to write about the sufferings and the glory of Christ hundreds of years before he actually came to this earth. We can read about them, the prophecies that foretold what was coming in the Psalms and in Isaiah, in the books of the prophets. God's truth will always be revealed by the Holy Spirit to those who search for it. The scripture also tells it to teach this truth to our children. And I must finish with a mention of Holiday Club this week, which was such a great event. And what a privilege and joy it was for those who led and took part in it. Some of you came and brought grandchildren. I can see you here this morning. Others were at home praying, which is an equally important task. And Simon and Leonie and Rachel and Helen and Joe and Caroline and Ian and John and Bev and many others helped 50 or so children hear the gospel each day for 4 days. And they didn't just hear it, they were praying as well. It was remarkable. So let us pray for the fruit to come in the salvation of these young ones and to press on towards the goal of one day being with our Lord and Redeemer forever. And to receive, as Peter reminds us, an inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade, because it is being kept safe for us in heaven. So let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for providing the means of our salvation by your death on the cross. We repent and turn away from those things that we do that don't please you, and ask you, the Holy Spirit, to strengthen our faith through revelation of your word, and enable us to do those good works you had always planned for us to do. And we also ask that those seeds sown in the children during Holiday Club will be fruitful for the salvation of their souls. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen.
Thank you, Angela. And if something that Angela has said this morning strikes a chord with you, if you feel challenged by that or encouraged to find out more, do speak to Angela, speak to me, speak to someone in the congregation here that you trust. Don't keep that to yourself. Do